Hello, and welcome to the third NABBW teleseminar we've hosted this month. Our topic tonight is of special interest to authors and those who want to become successful authors especially. It's three simple ways to boost book marketing success with guest Rhonda Del Baccio, NABBW associate, best-selling author, and also a Kindle expert. In a moment, I'll introduce Rhonda Del Baccio, who calls herself the Story Lady. But first, let me introduce myself and do a little bit of housekeeping, if you don't mind. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, found online at nabbw.com. And we have a forum at www.boomerwomenspeak.com. If you're not a member of NABBW, you're welcome to join us. You'll find a handy link on the upper right-hand corner of the front page of the NABBW site, which you can use to join, and it's really easy to do that. This teleseminar is an example of one of the many benefits we provide our members. We have approximately 90 teleseminars, which we've done in the past, available via written transcript and audio recording. These are yours with membership in NABBW. Now, as to the format of the call this evening, I'll be introducing Story Lady in a moment. Then she and I will spend about 30 minutes discussing her three favorite and probably what she thinks are the easiest ways to boost your book marketing success. After that, we'll open the call to questions from you, the audience, and we hope that you'll have a lot of them for us. So now, without further delay, please let me introduce today's guest, Rhonda Del Baccio. Rhonda is a number one best-selling author, speaker, mentor, and transformational storyteller. She fell in love with storytelling when she began making up skits and stories with her toys as a toddler, and I'd love to have video of that. I think that would be a wonderful thing to see. Every day, I just picture you, Rhonda, with the little toys lined up, and you're telling them a story like a teacher in school, but maybe that's not how it was. You'll have to tell me sometime. Anyway, I digress.
I will.
Every day, Rhonda deals with extra challenges in life because she's nearly blind. But with the help of screen reading technology, wit, and creativity, she navigates the web, runs her business, and connects with people worldwide. She's known globally as the Story Lady because she teaches entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, business owners, and visionaries how to connect with their ideal clients through the power of sharing your story and becoming an author. She's also a longtime friend, as you can tell by my personal interjections there in the introduction, and she's an NABBW associate. Look for Rhonda's entrepreneurial authoring column every month on NABBW.com. Now, Rhonda, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I'm so excited
to do this call. This is really fun. And, you know, when I was telling stories, it wasn't always that I was telling stories to the toys, but the toys, we were having an interactive story. And even today, I make my mom laugh because I said, you know, this morning the crow got me up at 6 o'clock, and you know what he said to me? And she said, no. I said, he said, snack, snack. And I had to get up at 6:30 and give the crows a snack and tell them good morning. And he said, thank you.
Sorry about that. What were you saying?
I said my silly side is showing, that's all.
Okay. Well, that's always good. Before I launch into our questions, why don't I give you a brief opportunity to tell people a little bit, if you'd like to, about the books that you've written and what caused you to start doing your own marketing?
Oh, thank you, Anne. I'd be delighted to do that. I've got a bunch of books. One of these days I'm going to make a stack of all the books that I'm either the author, sole author, co-author, or contributing author of. The last time I did that, the stack was about 2 feet high with various books. I've got published in books on five continents, books, magazines, periodicals. I was an international columnist for a while as well, and I've written a number of books, and you see a few of them pictured on the slide if you're seeing the slideshow. And the one of those is The Peace Seed, which went to bestseller in such an effortless, crazy, goofy way that I went, oh, this system really works, and that's what I teach now to my high-end mentoring clients. because you don't have to go through all the rigmarole of months and months of planning the way that I teach it. So that was really cool. But what caused me to do my own marketing, I think I'm probably like a lot of authors. I also write fiction, and that's really my first love is writing fiction. You can tell from me to interacting with the crows and all that type of stuff, you know. But I love writing fiction, and I was reading a magazine one day, a writer's magazine, which I do still love to read, but they had this article, and it was basically kind of saying, get used to tightening the belt if you want to be a writer, because you're just not going to get paid much. I was furious. I threw the magazine down, scared the cat, and I proclaimed I would not be a broke author. I would figure out how to make this work. So I gave myself a crash course in marketing and, of course, hired on a mentor to help me, because that's what you do when you don't know what you're doing. You find someone who knows what they're doing and you get them to help you. So I did all of that. And then what I found is that a lot of authors, and I myself included, I would go, I hate this marketing stuff. I just want to write books, for goodness sakes. I want to do my thing and tell stories. So the thing that I am becoming really known for, in fact, somebody called me the queen of effortless a couple weeks ago. Because she says, you make everything so easy and so fun and present things in a way that just doesn't make it sound like such a big deal. And I said, well, good, because I don't want to work that hard either. I don't mind putting in a little sweat, but I don't want to make things needlessly hard. I don't want to have do tasks that bring me to tears. And so as we go through tonight, I hope that will help. I have a slide here. It says, do you like book marketing with a question mark? And there is a one of those yellow, it's not a smiley face, but the mouth is wide open and the eyes are scrunched. Ah! That's how most people feel about marketing.
Right.
It doesn't really have to be that way, but that's really where most people are coming from. So I've just kind of found, what ways can I make this for me? Because this is survival for me. I do not love a lot of the marketing stuff. I love connecting with people. I love telling stories. I love connecting with people. I love getting people's reaction to stuff. I love making people laugh. So when I think about marketing in the way of connecting with people, it really helps me get out of my own way and make it more fun. So as we go through tonight, kind of keep that idea. So much of everything we do is mindset, right, Ann?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So anyway, that I think kind of answers your question and then some probably, but just to give you an idea of what started me into writing books and figuring out about marketing and sharing that with others in a way that makes it more interesting.
Excellent. Well, one more thing before we delve into our questions. I want to be sure to alert our listeners to the fact that you have a free gift for everyone who's on the call this evening. So I could tell people that they can find this free gift at the web address profitablestorytelling.com/NABBW. But why don't I make time right now for you to tell us a little bit about this gift, Rhonda?
I sure will. And just so you know, NABBW, I put it all in lowercase in this instance.
Okay, good
so
point.
after the slash, just so you guys know. So, and that is something, it's a lot of fun. So this is a free 30-day challenge. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it in detail later on. But what I'll tell you is that if you have ever been one of those authors, and there are a lot of people who write articles and poems and short stories, maybe who have started a book and not finished it. There are some people writing books for business. And with what I have, I can't say that you necessarily are going to get a novel completed in 30 days. You could, it's possible, but I wouldn't hold my breath for that per se, but you can do so many different things as a fiction author or poet or nonfiction author. But you're going to learn how to write and publish a book in 30 days and publish it into Nook and or Kindle and in print and be able to sell at least one copy of your book, probably more, when you follow the lessons. And so you get about 16 modules in the challenge. It started off at 10 and it keeps expanding because I realized, oh, there's just things you really got to put in there. So I say it's about 16. Yeah, well, it could be 17 by the time that you sign up. Who knows? But anyway, so it's teaching you everything step by step, and it's taking you through. And like I say, I'll go into a little bit more detail later. But if you've ever thought, gee, I really want to get this book off the back burner and get it done, or I've started and I need to finish, or I really need help, we do go through the publishing options, of course, but also the steps to writing a book in different ways and how to publish in Kindle and in print, all those good things, and Nook too. Nook, don't forget Nook. Poor little Nook, it gets so left out. Also, at least the basics and beginnings of book marketing. It's obviously, you can only do so much within a month, but we can get you started. And just by doing some of the marketing type of things right at the end, you'll be able to start selling a few books. And I think that's really, you really can do it if you keep up with the lessons. It's pretty amazing. And this is all for free. I've had someone say I should charge $1,000 for this course, and I said, well, I'm doing this for free. And there'll be other things. If people want more help, they can get that too, but this is a free gift. I really want authors to get off of that feeling of, I've only written articles, I've only written poems, I've only written stories, I've never had a book, and you really want to have that book.
Absolutely. I think I might go through it myself. In fact, I...
Oh, I hope so, Anne. I do. I would love for you to do that. Yes. Oh, it'd be fun.
Great. Well, thanks for telling us a little bit about that and promising to tell us more later. But now we promise to answer about a dozen questions this evening in our effort to share three simple ways to boost book marketing success. And certainly anyone who's published a book knows that writing and publishing a book is a significant accomplishment and brings with it a number of benefits. But marketing success is not something that comes guaranteed just because you get a book published. So let's start at the top of that list of questions we promised to answer, and let's get started. I'll ask you the first question here, Rhonda. Most authors, as you've alluded to already, dread marketing and just want to write books. So why does marketing seem so hard to most authors?
Part of it is a mindset thing. Some people get into a thing of, I just write for self-expression, and they feel like marketing and sales is somehow dirty and filthy and nasty. There's a lot of baggage that comes around money in our culture and many cultures, and you may have experienced some of that. I know that I certainly have, and that I'm always, and even to this day, working on mindset issues relevant to money, and the more I peel back that onion, the better things go for me financially. But so some of it is that kind of, ew, filthy, dirty money is bad and evil, and only rich people are bad if they have it, and all those kind of things. Part of it is that. Part of it is that feeling of wanting to keep the purity of our artistic expression, especially if it's fiction or poetry or whatever. Part of it is just feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. And just like many people who have a tendency towards being artistic don't necessarily also have that natural marketing bone, or whatever you want to call it, you know. there's a song about having your redneck bone, and I think some people seem to have a marketing bone, and some people don't have it, but I think anybody can learn it. I did not have it. Look, I'm telling you, I came from a background of actors. I'm a natural storyteller. I'm very artistic by nature. For me to learn any kind of marketing and do it with any level of skill at all, it's a little bit like those acrobats in Cirque twisting their body into these obscenely weird shapes that you can't imagine are even possible. That's kind of how it feels. But it doesn't have to be really difficult. It's just a very different way of thinking about things. And thinking about it partly in getting out of the head of my message, my story, my book, and getting into the mindset of how is the reader receiving, responding to this? What kind of benefit are they getting in their life, whether it's fiction or nonfiction? What kind of a solution? How is their day better because they're reading my book, because they're reading whatever, story, poem, nonfiction, any of it? So when you start to think about the reader and put yourself in their place, that helps you get about 80% of the way to decent marketing.
Good ideas there, and I lost track of how many years we've known each other, but I do remember that when I first met you, you were studying how to market, and I've been so impressed with how you've mastered that. So and I'm appreciating that you're reminding people that it didn't just...
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, no.
Knowing how to do.
No. I'm a little artist storyteller child and loves to be in the theater and act on stage. I was talking to on the phone with three of us, and these two people, they were talking about how they were like these natural born entrepreneur children, and they're like assuming that I was that way, and I'm like, no, I was the one in there with my dolls making up stories and wanting to write stories and tell stories and be up on stage. I had nothing to do with selling lemonade or whatever, that kind of stuff. I had no idea about that, and they were like really surprised. They said, well, you can learn it, but I didn't have that natural, entrepreneur bone inside of my body as a baby. So,
excellent.
There's
so,
hope for the rest of you.
Good. Where would you suggest that an author begin? Where's the first place that they should go for affordable book marketing tools?
Well, I want to tell you, don't put a lot of money into tools and things like that. But I will tell you, it can be really useful to just get some postcards from Vistaprint or somewhere like that. I kind of like Vistaprint because if you just watch their website for sales, you can get 100 marketing-type postcards that you can design yourself or use their templates or whatever. You can get them for free shipping, which makes them about $8, and usually you can add an extra 100 for about $10. So in other words, for under $20, you can come away with 200 postcards. Mm-hmm. And if on that postcard you put some kind of a message with what we might call a call to action, or in other words, a reason to go from reading this postcard to visiting your website or to ordering your book on Amazon or getting a free report or something of that nature, then you have something. So when you're talking to people, even before your book is out, you can have something like that to give people and cause there to be interest. And the funniest story that I have about postcards like that is I co-authored a book when I first met you. I was writing this book, I'll Push You Steer, with Bonnie Tesh, who was a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Well, I made us a postcard, and it had to do with driving. So I just saw, oh, there's a picture of like a car driving down the road, a long road kind of thing. Okay, so I'll use that. And I wrote something on I don't remember exactly what I wrote on the postcard, but I sent it to a small press publisher that we were hoping might publish us. And I wrote on the back, we were just asked to speak in front of 500 women and this and that. And I told them a couple things we were doing. I just hand wrote it on the postcard. Mm-hmm. We'd love for you to publish our book. Take a look at it. Call me and you can have a look. As he got the postcard from his mailbox, it's one of those he's out in the country, has to drive to the post office for it.
Mm-hmm.
Gets his mail. On the top of the mail is this postcard, I'll Push, You Steer, The Definitive Guide Stumbling Through Life with Blinders On, Coming Soon. And he knows it's coming because we've told him. And he knows me and Bonnie. We were familiar with him. We knew him. And while he's looking at this postcard, this runaway car starts to drive itself backwards through the parking lot and crash into a Lamborghini or something. And he went, I think I have to publish this book. I think it's a sign. It's about a blind person.
I've never heard that story before.
Drive.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? And, you know, especially because it's about a blind person, namely me, and Bonnie is a cancer survivor who couldn't drive because she has no feeling in her leg, couldn't use the pedal. So we joked about how we could drive if I'll push and she would steer the car. So for that runaway car thing to happen, right as our publisher got the postcard, that's how you know God has a sense of humor when those things happen. Because you go, I just couldn't have, if I had planned that and put that in the book, somebody would have said, oh, please.
Right. Yes.
But it really happened.
Yeah, like that could ever happen. Right.
Yeah, exactly. They go, oh, come on. That never happened. Yeah, but that really did happen. You can ask Bonnie or you can ask Dan Case. It really did. It was so funny. So anyway, so Vistaprint is a great place, and you can also make it so you can slice one card in half and make a couple of bookmarks if you want. That's not the only place, but that's really one place that you can do that where you're not out a lot of money, but you still can have a tool in your hand other than a business card, even while you're writing your book and doing other things. So you just want to think creatively as to things you can do that are going to not put you out, because there's no reason buying huge boxes of stuff and you don't really know how it's all going to go. See, for a book to sell more than 99 copies, it's actually a big surprise. It's a big deal. like 98% of books do not even sell more than 100 copies.
Okay.
So, you know, just putting that in some perspective.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we promised 3 simple bookmarking secrets. So let's start with what's the first one?
Okay. So the first bookmarking thing to make it easy and fun is really just about being prepared. So instead of having that screaming face type of, oh, not marketing now, it really isn't so bad when you do these things. So the first one is being prepared. And what that means is that if you have the book out already, have some copies with you. If nothing else, have some postcards. Have ways ready to reach out to people. If somebody wants to, and think of if you're at a restaurant having lunch, can you maybe arrange with them to do a reading from your book, like an author's Q&A, like a little mini free workshop for a half hour or an hour? That might be a way the restaurant could get some free publicity. You would encourage people to order food at the restaurant from them and arrange it with them. And so it would be a way for the, it would be a win-win because you could read your book and sell some copies. And if you gave the restaurant $1 a piece, would be nice, but even if you didn't, just be sure that when you get up to that mic or get up and stand there to read that you say, I'm really so glad that so-and-so is hosting us. Please be sure to tip your servers generously and order generously.
So
those kind of things. Being prepared is not only having books with you, although that's a good thing, or having your postcards or whatever, but it's also looking for where are these opportunities? Where can I find people who would be interested in my book? Whether it's fiction or nonfiction or poetry or whatever, it's all the same idea. So if your book has something to do with health, is there a fitness club around? Would they let you put up a display? Would they let you put out postcards? Would they let you do some kind of a special seminar or have a booth at one of theirs or something for, you know, for something affordable? Is there any kind of a neighborhood reach out type of thing where you could get involved? So just start thinking of where are the people gathering, particularly the ones who would be interested in my book, who have that type of desire. If your book has to do with, like, one of my clients is Jeremy Boone, who is the strength and conditioning coach for the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And so his book, he is really good at coaching parents and helping parents out with their kids who are in sports. So for him, he was for him being prepared was, well, what organizations deal with sports that you could hook up? And he had a contact who was an Olympic swimmer and turned out to be part of an organization who was going to actually do a special printing of his book, and they ordered 15,000 copies. That was accomplished in one phone call.
Wow.
So, and that's the being prepared and just kind of being open and thinking, well, who would like what I have? What, where are these people hanging out? So you don't want to just go to the shopping mall and scream in the corner or just wander around aimlessly, but you really want to find those places where people congregate who know, who care about what you are writing about. All right, so that's pretty much the idea for being prepared. And it can be very simple. A lot of it is, you can pre-plan it, you can have stuff with you, but part of it is just that mindset of openness and always looking for an opportunity to reach so that you can bring your solution, your awesome story, the message that's inside your heart that you feel so compelled to share to the people who are the best equipped to hear it.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes, it makes sense, but I'm going to ask for you to expound on that a little bit further because I'm thinking that some of our listeners might be saying, well, you know, I'm listening to what Rhonda's saying, but she's mastered marketing, so she can think like a marketer. But do you have any ideas, any suggestions for people that would make it easy for them to think about how they could be prepared?
Yeah, and I was laughing when you said I've mastered marketing. I always feel like I've just gotten out of the diapers as far as that goes. You know, that's why I was laughing. So, yeah, for someone, if you're not used to thinking that way, here's the idea. The easiest way that I can explain it is this. If you start And this is better done if you haven't written the book yet. But if you have, it's okay. So you start and think, and you take out a piece of paper or whatever your favorite way is, if it's a ThinkPad or a paper or a computer. But I like plain old paper for this. And you sit down and you start to write down the characteristics. Who is the ideal reader for my book? What are their hopes and dreams, and what are their interests? Okay, so well, if we take Jeremy Boone's example, Parent Your Best is his book. So he is a sports and an athletics coach. He's worked with children as well as with the Panthers. So his audience is parents. He knows a lot about working with parents. Parents that have kids in athletics tend to be very driven. They want their kids to succeed. They have a fair amount of money because all athletics take a pretty good income. So I don't know what income he picked, but some number that's fairly high they would have to put up all the money for hockey or football or all the equipment mm-hmm. and the different things and toting back and forth. They probably have two vehicles. They probably, you know, have they have an interest in the family. The kids that he deals with are older. They're not the babies. They're, you know, the teenagers and the tweens and that type of thing. So you start building a profile of what's relevant for your book. Who is that ideal type of person who is going to read your book? People that come to me for writing, they tend to be people that that travel at least once or twice a year, sometimes on business, sometimes on pleasure. They have generally invested in other kinds of mentoring that may not have served them as well as they want because it wasn't specific enough for their for them to actually write a book and put out the message in a way that pleases them. They have a sense of calling and mission, and they have a feeling of wanting to leave a legacy. They tend to be people who care about the world and environment, and they may not do everything all green and perfect and whatever, but they have that desire to be of service and to be gentle on the earth. So, in other words, you start building that sense of who is this person and where do they hang out? And so all it really takes to think about where to find them and how to open your mind in that way is to go, where are my people hanging out? You mm-hmm. think of them as your tribe or your people, and you think the places that they're going to be hanging out, and you go meet them there. You don't try to bring them over to you. You don't put up a billboard in the forest and start screaming, right? Mm-hmm. You go to where your hungry market is hanging out, and you share your message with them where they are. So that would be the way to help open your mind. It really, it is, you can decide to make it hard or you can decide to take a breath and it's very easy. But that's really the thing is just think of where do my people hang out and that's where I need to be. And that's really at the heart of making marketing easy and even fun because you're going to be hanging out with the people who you're already, who are already drawn to you and who you're already drawn to.
All right. That makes sense. So let's move on then. What would you say would be number two, your second simple way to market?
The second simple thing, the cool thing about number two, very easy and simple way to boost your book marketing success, is it's a set it and forget it type of thing. And we all love that. Oh, baby.
Sure.
Yes. You don't have to always be thinking about it. You just have to think about it enough to put it in place. It's things that you can do inside of your book. So many authors that I know write the book, publish it, and then go, now where are all these people that should be coming to my website? Well, let's see. In your book, the only thing it says is the end chapter is kind of like, we're done here. Turn off the lights and lock the door before you leave. And then it mm-hmm. says, visit my website at www.somewebsite.com.
Mm-hmm.
Boring. And in other words, you act like you're closing the door at the end of the book, which is bad. It should be an opening and not a closing. And you give them no reason whatsoever. Visit your website. Yeah, in my copious free time, I'll just go wander the web for no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give them a compelling reason to go to your website, particularly to do something like to get a free bonus, excuse me, that will really help you. I did an article in February 2012, I'm saying that because I don't know when someone will hear this, but
right.
on NABBW, there is an article about four easy ways to create a bonus for your book. So So before anybody goes, oh, bonus, I wouldn't have the first idea what to do. Well, mm-hmm. it's really not, you don't have to make it hard. You don't have to make it take a lot of time. It could be something as easy as a checklist or a set of recipes, like in the some of the books that have recipes or whatever, you can sign up and get those. It could be a checklist, like if you say there are 15 steps to something or other in your book, just give a one or two-page thing with those 15 things and a little check mark and complete it on such and such a date. Mm-hmm. That would be a great bonus. It would add a lot of value to somebody, and they should have to give up their email address for it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you want to do it that way, to set it up with they can give their name and stuff, is because you want to have the right and privilege to continue to communicate with them. Because what if you're in their part of the world and you want to invite them to an event, or now you have a home study course relevant to your book, or you've written a second book, or you're doing a tea party based around the characters in your novel or whatever, and you want to invite people. So you mm-hmm. want to make sure to do that communication piece. But adding a bonus is, that's a very easy thing. You just think of what's the easiest thing I can create in 15 to 30 minutes. That would be so easy for me to do, but huge value to the reader.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want more ideas, you can read that February 2012 article by me about book bonuses.
Okay.
So inside the book, so besides the bonus, the other thing that's helpful inside the book is making sure the reader has a next step. At the end of the book, it shouldn't be sure to turn off the lights and lock the door before you leave. It should be, we're opening into something new. Not only mm-hmm. hopefully do you want them to get that bonus, but take another step. Do you have a free class or a paid class, or is there a CD or a DVD or an audio where they can hear you? Anything of that nature, that will be amazing. All those things are set up inside the book. It's a one-and-done kind of thing. Once they're in there, they continue to work for you all the time. Works mm-hmm. the same whether your book is Kindle or print.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
All right, so you said it could be a checklist. It could be, I suppose one thing could be that you would offer that if it's a nonfiction type of a book, you might want to give a list of something or other that's related to your book and then say, but if you give me your email address as new things develop, you know, we'll mm-hmm. let you know what they are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and yeah, that's a good thing. The other thing is two updates to the book, especially for nonfiction. You can say, you know, some of the information in this book has a tendency to change. If you provide your email address, I'll be sure to give you any updates. And providing a resource list is a great way to do that. You might have mentioned 10 resources in the book, but if you say, here's a list of these 10 resources and 5 more, that'll really help you with blah, 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 whatever that result is that they could get. And mm-hmm. it's even for fiction, it could be the same thing. If you've had a book in fiction that deals a lot with Civil War history, for example, just to pick something,
right?
Maybe you have some great references that you used, and people who want to read historical fiction have a historical interest in the period. And you mm-hmm. might say, here you can sign up and get a resource list of 10 of the books or references that I used for historical accuracy in this book.
Mm-hmm.
As well, you'll get updates of any public appearances, speaking engagements, and you know, whatever. So those kind of things are pretty easy to do.
Great. All right. Well, not wanting to lose track of our time here, I'm going to ask you, what's the third easy bookmarking strategy?
The third is to use social media and just your natural network of people, not only social media like Facebook, but just your natural contacts that you have, people who already are familiar with you or people who find you. So social media is one of those things that it can be a tremendous time suck if you let it be that way, but it can also be something that helps you connect in a great way. I was just talking to a friend who's starting a a new business, and she is kicking and screaming about having to have, she's like, I'm sure my son will tell me I got to have a Facebook page, and I don't want to deal with any of it. I said, well, hire it out then, babe, because we're in a world where you have to have that kind of presence where people are going to go, what, you're doing market research and you're not even on the social media? Come on, what kind of person are you? You're not going to think you know what the heck you're talking about. So, because she's doing market research. And she's very good at what she does, but she likes that anonymity that you don't have with social media.
Okay. All right. Well, social media, talking about Facebook, you're probably talking about Twitter. How could you use Twitter?
LinkedIn.
Twitter has only, what, 140 characters or something. So how can I do book marketing with only so few words to, or, you know, letters to involve myself with?
The thing with any of those, even Facebook, you have a little more room, but you can't go on forever. And brevity is a good thing for us authors to learn because we all think we need more words, and sometimes less is more.
Okay.
But the thing is, you really, in social media, the way that I see this done badly with people is they'll say, my new book is out. It's great, blah, 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 dot com, whatever, and they'll give the title. And I'm like, well, whoop-dee-freaking-do, your book is out. Yeah, wow. What you really want to do is focusing on that value that they're getting. So if your book is going to have 10 ways to enhance your love life or something like that, you tell that in the tweet, and the kind of person who's your ideal customer will be interested. And also by finding the people, again, we talked about finding who are your tribe, your people. If you connect with people individually and say, hey, I see you're interested in such and such, this book might be of interest to you, and put a link to it and just be kind of low-key about it. You don't need a lot of characters to express yourself. So actually, the one thing that's kind of good about Twitter is it can really help you, teach you to have that sense of brevity and get to the point.
Okay, so Facebook, Twitter, there's a lot of other social media sites out there. Are there any other ones that you...
There's too many to deal with. As far as I'm concerned, though, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. I use more of LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm on Twitter a little bit, but I'm not... The thing is, I'm on Twitter, I'm available there, I check it every day, but I don't spend a whole loads of time there.
Right.
Because the people that connect with me tend to be more in LinkedIn and Facebook. So if your people hang out in, what is that called, Foursquare or Foursquare or something like that. Anyway, if your people hang out in some other network, then be there. If they're not, you could spend whole loads of time being in all these networks where your people aren't even there. So really focus on where they are. If there's a particular forum or community or a certain hangout that people are in, whether it's a live, it could be the tavern at the corner, or it could be an online thing, wherever that is where you want to be. So just figure out, and you'll know by the results that you're getting. If you find that you're on Facebook and you're making conversation with people and they're buying your book and you're putting up events and they're coming and whatever, then obviously that's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then that's probably not where they're hanging out.
All right. Now, with LinkedIn, I think of that more of as a business site, So could you talk a little bit more about how LinkedIn can help me sell books?
Yeah, because, excuse me, sorry.
Sure.
Yes, it is business related, but there are interest groups in LinkedIn, and those interest groups are around different areas. So there are groups for everything from storytelling to all kinds of financial things to there's lots of groups for authors. But if you find out if there are groups that have interests that you're dealing with, there are groups for pet lovers, there are groups for all kinds of things. And if you connect in some of those groups, find out where the conversations are lively, where things are happening, and make your presence felt, and really go with any of the networks, go with an idea of being of value to people, not just pimping your book. But go in with the idea of giving someone a little encouragement, a valuable nugget of information, helping people out, that sort of thing will do the most for you to sell more books because you're showing that you're not just there to pimp your book. You're actually there to be of value to people.
Okay. Well, now, I'll get a little bit wild and crazy here and say, well, what about YouTube? Do you think YouTube, if anybody feels like being graphical, you know, would that, would you recommend?
Oh,
I mean,
because
you have your own channel on YouTube, right?
I have my own channel. I have 200 and some videos, and I do have some book trailers up there and things like that, and you can kind of see what works, and you can also do everything from screen. If you don't want to be live, because I'm not really fond, I feel like I have to put on makeup and do the whole thing.
Right.
I just am not real fond of putting my face on video. I'm sorry. I know people tell me, oh, I know, one of these days I need to just get over it, but I haven't quite gotten over it yet. But I do things that are screenshots. I do put together, I put up a piece mashup with all kinds of clips relevant to piece. You know, you can use a free tool called Animoto.com, A-N-I-M-O-T-O, that will make you this little video with, you can pull in your pictures or theirs. You can use their sound clips with their blessing if you want, or use your own, and put together these really professional-looking little videos. And that's a great thing to do if you don't really want to have your face on there. And or I do have some that are like that where I'm actually talking. But it's really kind of a cool thing. I also show people my chickens because I raise chickens, and every once in a while they do something really funny, and I put up a video like that because, to me, you just want to be a real person. That's kind of the big secret, is being okay. It doesn't mean you have to say everything. You don't have to open your underwear drawer and show the contents, but you want to be a real person.
All right. I'm sure that, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with using social media, and I know you are too, but I remember when I first started thinking about or learning about using social media, one of the things that really concerned me was loss of privacy and worrying that people could find out too much about me that I wouldn't want people to know for security reasons or something like that. So we should probably talk a little bit about that. Have you got any advice for people on that?
But my personal rule of thumb is, if I wouldn't be proud for my grandma to hear it, I'm not going to say it on put it online. Not everybody has that standard. But I feel like if whatever somebody discovers about me online, it's not going to be anything horrendous. I'm really not that scandalous. I don't go on drinking binges or anything like that. And anything I put out is something I'd be okay with my grandmother seeing. I wouldn't feel like she would be scandalized if she saw, oh, how could she write such a thing? I would never do that. So if you kind of have that notion of being transparent and being yourself, I mean, unless your market really is, you know, drops F-bombs every other day, then that's okay if that's your audience, you know, if that's what they like. Well, that wouldn't really be my audience, and that's not how I roll anyway. So I only occasionally drop an F-bomb. So so that's the kind of thing you want to think about. And just, you don't need to tell everybody everything that you're doing at every minute of the day. Just checking in and really giving people a valuable tip. That's the thing that Twitter is great for. If you can put out a whatever tip of the day, you know, a historical quote of the day, if you're a history writer, or a cooking tip of the day, if you're doing cooking, there's a fat loss quickie. He does like a fat loss tip of the day. Yeah, those kind of tip of the day are great for social media. They're a way to stay connected without having to say, I just ate a liverwurst sandwich. Oh. So,
okay. All right.
And any other thoughts have on privacy?
No. I'm just thinking that was one of my biggest concerns when I started learning about social media.
Yeah.
So I figured
it's a different way to think.
Yeah, in case we have people who are not so familiar with anything beyond Facebook, you know, and maybe not everybody who's listening to this is even familiar with Facebook. So just in case, I wanted to cover that. So would you say, I guess my last question on social media would be, are there some ways to do social media right and wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been talking a little bit about that. The right ways are giving tips, giving value. Tips, quotes, something of the day that's useful, a video of the week, answering a question is a great thing to do. So those are the right ways. The wrong ways are things like, here is my book, and really going out there with that sense of just dropping links to your book all the time. It's really better to put out a tip that could be of value, and if somebody, you know, comments on it or whatever, just being nice to people, invalidating people is a great way to go. So too much self-promotion is bad, or focusing on, like, what your book does, like the features. 110 pages of pure content. Yeah, that really says a lot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course it's 100 pages of content. It's whatever's written on the page is content. Doesn't mean it's valuable. So if you're focusing on that, that's going to be not really helpful.
Okay.
But when you're focusing on the value, that's where it's the good things to do.
All right. Okay, so we've given people three simple marketing secrets: being prepared, having your books with you, having content inside the book that will send people back to you, and using social media. I know that we've got, you and I have discussed that there's more secrets, but we wanted to keep it to three so we could
have some
time with the call here for people to get their questions answered. So I think that we've given them a really good beginning here, and I think that anybody listening should be pretty jazzed by what you've been sharing. So keeping track of our time here, I do want to
tell people a little more about the challenge at some point here.
Oh, why don't we do that?
Yeah, so I was thinking let's do that real quick, and then we can go to, if you want to take a look at questions while I start talking about that, would be great.
All right.
And I have just a quote here from number one best-selling author Jason Ohman. Have you ever met Jason?
I believe I did meet him once at some conference that you and I were at, but I can't remember where we were.
Oh, that's right. Oh, D.C. is where we were. That's right. I forgot he and you were both at that one, yeah.
Right.
And he is the number one best-selling author of Conversations with Millionaires, and he took a look at the system that I reveal in the Instant VIP, and it's actually the same system I'm teaching in the free challenge. And he says, I've seen a lot of programs about writing books, but I've never seen anything else that gives you the insider secrets to ensuring that your book truly boosts your business. I took pages and pages of notes, and I will be applying everything I learned from your fabulous system and all my upcoming bestsellers. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by the way, that is a YouTube video, just because we were talking about social media. I put that as a YouTube video, and people can see that there. So let me just briefly mention, in this free 30-day challenge, you'll get a little bit of the marketing stuff, but first you want to write a book. So in this 30 days for free, you will actually write a whole entire book. Doesn't have to be 5 million pages, but you'll write a book. You'll publish that book on Kindle or Nook, and you'll also be able to publish in print. Print publishing is free also, which is cool, and you will be able to sell at least one copy. You'll begin to establish yourself as a powerful voice all in 30 days, and that's all free.
Mm-hmm.
And that link is at profitablestorytelling.com/NABBW, and the NABBW is all lowercase. I'd love to invite all of you. It is free. You have nothing to lose. It's a no-brainer. Even for people that have a book already, this will probably give you some insights that may lead you to go, oh, that's why that didn't work as well as I wanted it to. Okay, now I got it. And maybe you can redo it or at least think ahead towards your next book or whatever if you've already got one.
Excellent. All right. Well, I believe that should we put the call into interactive mode so anybody can speak up if they've got a question? Okay, I just moved it into interactive. Is anyone out there who's listening who has a question? And don't be frightened, don't be scared, you know, we're friendly people here.
And if you're listening through the webcast, there is a question box. I realize I maybe should have said earlier, not everybody has seen this system. There's a question box in the lower left that you can pop a question into, and we'll answer it. I had gotten a couple of questions through instant message chat while we were going, and I have already answered those. So I just love this. Like, I'm teaching a call, and there's chats coming in. Okay. Great.
Well,
that's cool.
I'm not hearing any
Google chat.
Yeah, I'm not hearing anybody speak up, but I've got a question that was coming that came in for us, which is, are there any things an author can do on her website that will help sell more books? We haven't really talked about
that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's a really good thing. It's one of those, I thought about that, and I thought, well, I can only do so much without just, you know, throwing up on people. So, yeah, on your website, the thing that's missing from too many authors' websites is an opt-in form. In other words, a place to leave your name and your email to get a something, whatever that something is. And the thing is, see, people are busy and people are distracted, as we all know, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I just got a boy howdy from Stephanie. So anyway, the people are very busy and very distracted, and they aren't going to just remember to come back to your site. And if you don't have a way for them to leave their email and stuff, that also means you can't communicate with them. Like for if you're doing traveling in their area, like when I'm going out to Arizona next month, I'll be able to contact people that are my customers and subscribers. I've already gotten to, plans to get together with two different people while I'm out there on vacation just to visit and have a good time. And so because I have that emailing system, I'm able to communicate with people and find them, let them know, or if I have a new program coming out or another call like this coming up. So that's a really good thing to be able to do. So having that on your website, having an opt-in is great. Keeping your site very simple is also good. And don't let them have two downloads without making them give up their email for it.
Okay.
The one thing, and I really like the Murder, She Baked mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are really fun. The biggest problem I see with her books is that she puts all the recipes right in the book, and I keep going, you should only put one recipe in the book and make them give their email to get the rest. You know, it just seems like to me that would be a better thing if you're going to give out 10 recipes anyway. So put one or two in there in the book,
right,
and then say for the rest of the recipes, go to soandso.com and give your email. So that type of thing that's a big one. It's not hard to do. And during the challenge,
I could imagine that you could even put pictures of the recipes, and you could even maybe set the table to look like it went with the story in the book.
Yes. Well, yeah, and that's the fun type of thing is if you have a historical novel, you can have whether it's medieval garb or Civil War era, whatever, having a picture of you wearing that garb. Or something at an event. Those kind of things are great for websites. Pictures of the table set for food, like you said. Pictures that depict whatever it is that's happening. Also, if you have reader comments, testimonials, whatever, it's really great to have those kind of things on your website. And hook up with the social media so that they can find you. If you have a YouTube channel, Facebook, whatever, make sure people can find you. Even if they don't go do it, it's like people are mostly comforted now to know that they can do that if they want to.
Mm-hmm. All right. So definitely we can integrate our websites into the books, and you would advise to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because that's what's going to bring them back. Certainly having an opt-in, but making that website feel alive and having a lot of things happening there, it's going to help you. And again, fiction or nonfiction alike, that's the cool thing. Nothing I've said is exclusive, only works for this or that kind of author.
All right.
Because I know we have a lot of fiction writers and article writers and, in NABBW, so I am really realizing that and speaking right to that.
All right. Well, we've got one more question here that's come in, and that is, I'm listening to you, and I'm everything that you're saying makes sense. But is there any way that I could make book marketing fun? I guess what they're saying is doing it because it's not fun.
Well, yeah, and I know. I feel you. I really do. I really do feel you. So, yeah, I mean, the way to make it fun, it really everything starts with a mindset for that. It's like. Really quick scenario. If you get out, imagine this, you get out of bed, you stub your toe, you trip over the blankets and stub your toe and crash your elbow into the door or something like that. And then you go and you get your coffee, and you didn't get the pot lined up right, and so the coffee stuff goes everywhere, and it's all a big mess.
Oh, I hate that.
And, yeah, I know. I used to have a coffee pot that would do that. It's like you would look at it funny, and it would tilt, I swear, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you look at those things that happen, you go, oh, the whole day is crap now. It's going to just be all downhill from here.
Mm-hmm.
You've made a decision, and then you're going to look for everything that is wrong. If that light didn't turn green at the right millisecond, it's like, see, I knew I was going to get delayed in traffic, even if it was like 10 seconds extra, right? So mm-hmm. You can put yourself down that kind of a road in your head. But if you still have the tripping, the knocking your elbow, and the coffee business, and you go, well, I can see I got my bad out of the way early,
mm-hmm.
And then you start looking for what all the blessings are and what's going right and what's fun and what's easy and whatever, then that's when magic happens in your day.
Mm-hmm.
You start to notice what's right, then you'll be seeing more of that because you're looking for what's right and not what's wrong. And so with marketing, and like with anything, if you want to look at it as, oh, God, I have to do this stuff to market my book, and I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to have that thought about it, but to me, the thing that makes it fun is I think of, wow, here is something that is going to change people's lives, make their lives better in one way or another, whether that's a really great story that hopefully they'll be thinking about for weeks and months after they read it, or mm-hmm. whether that is some absolutely wonderful solution to a problem where they might have been tossing, turning, losing sleep, biting their nails, chugging antacids, going prematurely gray and feeling miserable, but now with your book and your solution, their life is much easier. When you think about bringing that kind of stuff to people and connecting with people, it's more fun. And mm-hmm. the thing that I love about the Facebook and Twitter and the social media and stuff is it really brings you more in contact with your reader. You'll know what people's questions are, what they want more of. If it's fiction, they'll be saying something about, oh, when the character had such and so happen, I was so sad or whatever. And they'll be interacting with you around it, and that really makes it fun. So part of it is the mindset, and part of it is that realization of connecting with people. And that, to me and to most people, if you really feel like you're making a difference in the world, it makes you feel much better about doing it. It doesn't feel like I'm just doing this to eke some more money out of something. It's really about how can I connect with people, and in so doing, I'm adding value to their lives, and I'm also, they are thanking me because an exchange of money is a way of showing gratitude, and so they are buying the book and mm-hmm. the other programs, and that is an act of gratitude.
All right.
That will change the way you think of marketing.
Good point. I've got one more question here I want to make sure to get in before we run out of our time here, and this is from Chloe John Paul, and I have read several of her books, and I know she has a website, and I see her participating in social media. So I think the fact that I
Good
know
job.
A little bit about Chloe, this is a very excellent question here. She says, I have 3 published books, and I've spent quite a bit of money on marketing, but sales have been sluggish. I'm doing a lot of social networking, but I could, or I feel I should, be doing better. Do you have any advice for her?
I think really the thing is that where can you connect with the most people with the least effort would be the thing. So, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry, but I'm not familiar with this author or with their books, so I'm sorry that I'm not aware of that. But do you know what kind of books that she writes?
Fiction books. Well, she started out as a teacher, but primarily the books of hers that I've read are fiction.
Awesome. So finding ways to share that message and thinking about, are there, the other thing is, too, that a lot of times authors of fiction forget that they could maybe make some other type of product relevant to their book. I know that I have a lot of knowledge in aromatherapy and natural health and different things of that nature. And so, you know, I think about a novel that I wrote that has a lot of that in there. Could there be room for an audio program or a teaching or a class that's somehow related to, even though your books are fiction, it doesn't mean that you couldn't do some of those things. And there are conference lines like the one that we're using in Centella Seminar. There are free conference lines where it's very easy to record. and have an audio and be able to put that up to kunaki.com, K-U-N-A-K-I, and now you have a CD, or the same thing with a DVD to the same place. So there are ways you might think about, can you expand what you're doing beyond books into some other programs that will fill a need for people, not just because I want to make more stuff, but is it going to fill a need for people and answer something?
Okay.
So that would be the kind of thing. Sounds like you're doing a lot right.
I'll let you know a little bit more about Chloe. I went and looked at her website here. The book that I had most recently read of hers is called This Business of Children, which is fiction. But she also has a book called What Happens Next, A Family Guide to Nursing Home Visits. And then her first book was Entering the Age of Elegance, A Rite of Passage and Practical Guide for Modern Maturing Women. So she's writing, first she wrote nonfiction, and then she seems to be branching out into fiction.
So either way, now you also can take those topics and reach out to your local media. Terrestrial radio shows are always looking for guests who have knowledge. But things about nursing homes, I think people would be all over that to have that kind of knowledge and whatever, you know, the knowledge that you have that you could share with them to make that road easier. That would be great for radio shows where that would be free media for you in terms of not having to spend loads more money in marketing, right? So the great thing about media is then you get to crow about it in the social media and on your website and whatever, and it could end up being the basis for another product or program or that you could offer. So, you know, there's that. And again, it's even the same with the fiction, is you could have a lot of knowledge that's shared in that fiction book, and you find the audience for it. You know, that would definitely be a way to help. Think about that local media, your newspapers and your radio and television. They're looking for experts.
Absolutely true. They're always looking for experts and pretty anxious to have knowledge of who they can contact in a situation when, you know, they want to localize, get a local slant to a national news story. So that's
exactly
a good thing.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody else who's on the call here got a question? And thank you, Chloe, for that one. Don't be shy. If you're here, we're getting ready to close the call, but we don't want to give anybody who's got a question. Okay, well, Rhonda, I don't want to just have dead air here. So anything else that I have failed to ask you that you wish that I would have asked you that we should talk about?
No, I can't think of a thing. This has absolutely been a blast, and I thank you for the opportunity. I just would love people to take that free challenge. Whether you're published like Chloe or you're thinking about it or you're not, you're going to get some free stuff that will probably help you very much over the course of 30 days. And it's delivered a little bit at a time, so you don't have to feel like this big stuff is going to be dumped on you.
Very true. Excellent. Well, I want to thank you, Rhonda. It's been great having you as my guest here this evening. I thank you for your time and the discussion about how to become a profitable author and use things like social media to help sell books. I think that not everyone is able to think in terms of that the social media is more than just keeping up with what your kids are doing, but it can actually be a sales tool. So,
what, it's more than Angry Birds and Words with Friends?
Yeah, and I loved also your second suggestion about, you know, putting things inside the book that can help you to market. I think that's a new one for me that I'm really going to work on. So,
excellent. Well, that's one of the most overlooked pieces of real estate for an author is inside that book.
Right. So just to regroup, you know, you've given us three suggestions. One is being prepared. Secondly is use the content, use space inside the book to get people out of the book to your website, to forums. Use social media is the third one. And you talked about that tool called Animoto, which is found at animoto.com. So very excellent suggestions. And I know that maybe we should schedule another call in a month or so, because I know that I think that you actually have more than a dozen suggestions for ways for people to
effective. How many hours do you want?
Right. Well, we've only just scratched the surface here. We'll assess the interest level that we get back from this call, and I think that we should probably schedule another one. But meanwhile, for now, I want to thank everyone. I've already thanked you, Rhonda, but I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us. Be sure and claim Rhonda's free gift, the 30-Day Awakened Author Challenge. And remember, that's at profitablestorytelling.com/NABBW, all in lowercase. So that's all I have for this call this evening. And I want to be remembering, Rhonda, you hold me to this. I told you I'm going to take that course myself. So I am going to get my book.
I can't wait to see you in the members area.
All right. I will be there.
Bye-bye. Great. Thanks, everyone.
Mm-hmm.